will come back to your right hand sevenfold. Yeah. So it's not time to cry out to mourn. Remember, he knew before it happened. So why not shout and rejoice and claim your victory a hundredfold? But there's no loss in him. Hallelujah. Look not at the three times it didn't work, but look to the fact that in him all things work together, and they are working together for you right now. Glory to his name forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, blessed be God. Chapter 3, we're looking at righteousness, and we started last week where we introduced, and I'm going to say one or two things to just bring us up to speed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I read from verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Notice that Paul is writing to you, he's a pastor of pastors, and that instruction is extremely important. He says, "And that from a child you have known." So Timothy, even after he got saved, the same scriptures contain the revelation that will bring about spiritual growth. So notice this, from a child you have known, you are familiar, you are conversant with the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. That's spiritual growth, wisdom. He says, unto salvation, true faith, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so the subject of salvation is not an easy subject to tackle. Anything that has to do with salvation, such as righteousness, faith, justification, are themes in the scriptures that are extremely important for us to understand. Pastor Tolu read to us this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 15. And it says that the summary of God's long suffering is salvation. That means the reason why God is waiting before the end of the age, before the close of this age, is that he is long suffering unto salvation. And that is a description of how God has been from the foundation of the world, from the fall of Adam. It speaks about the fact that God's long suffering must not be looked at from any other perspective except through what? Salvation. Say amen. All right, Romans chapter 1. So we said some things last week, and we're going to go further. And we trust God that by the Spirit of God, we'll all be brought up to speed. Romans chapter 1. Amen. From verse 1, the Bible says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle." The word "to be" is italicized. If you're using a good King James, it's not called to be, it's called an apostle. "Separated unto the gospel of God." Notice that word, gospel of God. Now, you will see three words or three phrases interchangeably used in the epistles. One, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of his son. They all mean the same thing. But the context in which it is used may change a little bit. So here it says, you will see soon why it says the gospel of God. Look at what it says. It says, "which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures." So you know that Christ was not manifest in those days. So he's speaking about something he wants to call our attention to. It says the gospel of God has been something that was revealed through the prophets in the holy scriptures. That is, long before the days of Christ, the gospel of God, or God personally announced what he will do. Let me read that verse 3 again, see what it says. It says, "which he had promised." The word "promise" simply means that which you will undertake to do by yourself, which was yet to be done. So it says, "which he had promised afore," that's beforehand, "to foretell by his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh," verse 4, "and declared the Son of God." Again, you remove that phrase "to be," that's also italicized. "And declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." In those few verses, Paul just preached the gospel to us and told us what is the content of the gospel. Notice in verse 3, he speaks about concerning his son Jesus. So what's the content of the gospel? Jesus, the content of the gospel. Say amen. That's the central theme of the gospel. It says, "concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh." Then verse 4 now says, "declared the Son of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So let me say it this way again. The gospel of God didn't come to us because Jesus died. The gospel of God has been the revelation of God's goodness from the foundation of the world. That's so important. What we call the gospel is not just the good news of Jesus rising from the dead. That has been the gospel from the foundation of the world. Say amen. And we're going to see as we study that, listen carefully, faith is not an afterthought. Righteousness is not a response to man's sin. Righteousness is God's method from the foundation of the world. So the issue of faith, the issue of righteousness, is not something that came up because Adam sinned. No. That is God's system from the very beginning. And we need to understand that. Look at what it says in verse 16. For I am not ashamed. And if a man says I'm not ashamed, he must know that there are certain things that are suggested earlier that implies that people are trying to push him towards that place where they will not have full confidence in what he speaks. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice he has changed it now. Gospel of what? Christ. So whenever you hear the gospel of Christ, it's talking about the fulfillment. Let me say it again. The word gospel means good news. And that is something that God promised before the world began. Before the world began means before Adam sinned. Say amen. So if God had promised the gospel, and God had, so to speak, announced that gospel to the prophets before Christ came, it means, therefore, that what we call salvation and righteousness is not God's response to sin. It is what God has always had in mind all along. That's so important. So, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation. To what? Everyone that, notice that clause, everyone that what? Believeth. So if he has promised by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, afore or beforehand by his prophets, the gospel, listen carefully, has the same potency when it was a promise as when it was a fulfillment. I'm going to try to take it a bit slow, because we said some things last week when we went to Hebrews chapter 11, and I said some things I noticed that some of us couldn't really catch up with. I'm going to say it a bit, because we need to understand, if it's the gospel, it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Now, it is not the power of God unto salvation because Jesus died. Jesus' death is a fulfillment of something that had been promised before Jesus came on the scene. So what did Abraham hear? It was the gospel. Was it fulfilling days of Abraham? No, it was a promise. But even as a promise, he had enough potency to save Abraham. Hallelujah. He had enough potency to save Abraham. And we saw last week that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him what? Righteous. So Abraham was saved. As far as the Old Testament says are concerned. So while it was a promise, it was a gospel. Paul is giving us a definition of the gospel. I am not ashamed. Why am I not ashamed? Let's read that verse 16 again. It says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and what? Also to the, now he's using the word Jew first because he speaks about how it began. Verse 17, for therein in the gospel is what? The righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith, even as written, the just shall live by faith. Therein, God's righteousness, God's right standing, what God calls proper conduct is unveiled through the gospel. So the gospel is God's way of unveiling righteousness. What is proper? What is acceptable? What are the standards of God? It's in the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed because daring is God's righteousness unveiled. So we see that if the same gospel was promised, and when it was promised, it was preached. Promise there simply means that the full expression of it was a promise unto those who first had it. So there were people who had initially had it. Let's pause. Go to Hebrews 11 again. And we'll read from verse 1. We pray in the Spirit this morning. That's one of the reasons why we pray in the Spirit. So that when you hear, you will understand. Say amen. Say I understand. I have wisdom and revelation by the Spirit of God. I understand what I'm being taught. Hallelujah. Okay, because some things we preach here and we teach here, sincerely speaking. Okay, let me just leave that. Verse 1, Hebrews 11:1. Are you there? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we said that that is not the full definition of faith. That is faith in context. In what context? It's talking about Old Testament saints. It wants to bring out certain truths to us. It wants to make a comparison between... Hebrews is a book of comparisons. From chapter 1, you see the comparison between the ministry of Jesus and that of angels. Okay? You see in chapter 2, it continues the law and grace. In chapter 3, it speaks about those who had initially received the gospel and they rejected it. So you move on to chapter 7, you see him comparing the priesthood of Christ to the priesthood of Aaron. Okay? And then first of all, Melchizedek is a type, and then he compares it to that under the law, which is Aaron. Chapter 8, he talks about the testament they had and the new testament they will have now. Chapter 9 talks about their sacrifice. So it's a book of comparison. So now it's about to compare their faith to our faith, because they had faith. Because wherever the gospel is preached, faith is produced. Do you understand? You can't have faith without hearing something. Something must be heard for faith to come. That's important. So he now says, now faith. Now we know he's talking about their faith. We know the proper way to read this is, their faith is the substance of what they hope for. It is the evidence of what they did not what? See. Are you with me? Look at verse 2. It says, for by it, that faith, what is that faith? The substance of what they hope for, which was the evidence of what they didn't see, they were able to obtain what? A good report, which is they got a pass mark. That's why we're saying they were made righteous, because they believed in what was going to happen as though it has happened. Are you following? Verse 3. It says, through that same faith, we understand that the ones, that is the activities of men upon the earth, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do what? Appear. So men acted, men carried out certain activities based on their faith, speaking of realities that were yet to come to pass. I'm trying to explain to you in detail what it's trying to say. Men carried out activities based on what they had. For instance, he's about to tell you that Noah, moved with fear, built an ark. And when Noah was building an ark, pay attention now, in the natural, there was no way it was possible to understand there will be rain. The kind of God told him. But much more than preparing an ark for the rain, one of the things that Noah's ark represented was salvation. Say amen. Say amen. So, now it says, by faith. So, there were things that they did that showed what they believed, or their actions gave substance to unseen realities. So, see Abel for instance. Abel is a good example. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto who? God. A more what? Excellent sacrifice than who? Than Cain. And we said that, except you come to the epistles, 1 John chapter 3 for instance, you will not know that both Cain and Abel, the issue of sacrifice was not the issue of morality. Know that yellow book? I keep mentioning that yellow book. It did a lot of harm. So in your mind, you have already judged Cain as bad, Abel as what? Good. But notice Bible says true faith. True faith means that they were not accepted on any moral ground. It was faith. Faith means you had something. So when you disobey, what you had is called unbelief. So two individuals had the same thing. One responded. It was called faith. Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent. The one more excellent is a reference to the fact that it was what God said that he chose. It was what God said that he believed. Listen carefully. It's not that the lamb is better than the foot of the ground. You need to understand Bible language. It's not that, you know, well, is it not what Cain had that he offered? It was a farmer. So he offered the fruit of the ground. That was not the issue. The issue was that it wasn't because Abel was a shepherd that he offered a lamb. The issue was this. The sacrifice was meant to typify Christ. Say amen. That his faith was not in his own works, but in someone else, which is Christ. Do you understand? So by faith, he offered a more excellent simply means a sacrifice that was a representation of faith. Do you understand? Okay. So that means Abel had the gospel preached. That was why he was able to offer that sacrifice as a type. He had the gospel. He responded. Cain didn't respond. So the story of Cain and Abel shows us how choices are given to men from the beginning by the gospel. And some choose life and some choose death. That's what it's meant to tell us. Hallelujah. And if you read further, see what it says, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was one translated that he should not see what? Death. If you go further, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, or you come to God on one basis, by faith. By faith means you come to God on his own terms. That's what it means. What was their faith? It was the substance of what they hoped for. It was the evidence of what they didn't see. Go back to Romans. Look at what Paul tells us the content of the gospel is. Romans chapter 1 again, I read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ. So what's the gospel about? Concerning God's son. Who? Jesus Christ. So that's the first part of the gospel. Look at the second part. And declared to be the son of God with what? Power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the... Why could Paul give the other part? Because it had now been fulfilled. So Abraham's faith was hinged on the resurrection of who? Jesus. Say amen. Say amen. 1 Corinthians 15. So you see what we're talking about. Because the resurrection of Jesus is central to the epistles. If you don't understand it, you don't understand what the gospel is. You don't understand what the gospel is. It is not the death of Jesus as a theme of the gospels. It is resurrection. When you speak of a resurrection, you can't speak of resurrection and not imply that he must have died. Yes or no? So when the Bible focuses on the resurrection, within that resurrection is also his death. So the emphasis is always on what? The resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read the first three verses and then skip. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also believed, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, verse 4, and was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Can you see that? He rose the third day, according to what? The scriptures, which God promised afore by the prophets. Are you following? Okay, so according to the scriptures that the prophet spoke, which was the promise of God, inside those scriptures, the resurrection of Jesus was a promise. Yet it was the gospel. Yet it produced faith. And yet it saved them. Hallelujah. I'm trying to take your mind away from the traditional thinking. Traditional thinking is that until Jesus would, they couldn't be saved. No, the word saved has different, it can be used in a different context. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When it is preached and believed, men are what? Saved. Okay, let me give you an illustration so you understand. In Luke chapter 16, we have one of the parables or stories of Jesus. This one wasn't necessarily a parable in that sense. Okay, about the rich man and Lazarus. How many of us remember that person? Okay, so when the rich man died, and it was where was the rich man? Where was he? Where was the rich man? Where was he? Where was Lazarus? Okay, in paradise. What was it called in that passage? Abraham's bosom. Okay, so there were two compartments, isn't it? So somewhere in Abraham's bosom. So we call them Old Testament saints. Were they saints? Were they saved? Yes. That's why they were there. If they were not saved, they would be in the same place. So that demarcation was to show that they had accepted salvation. What they didn't have was perfection. I've taught you that before, hasn't it? What they didn't have was perfection. Hebrews 11 speaks about fire. They without us could not be made what? Perfect. Perfect has to do with the recreation of their spirits. But they were saved. Say they were saved. That's important. Okay? So you see the difference? So when the gospel was preached to them, they were what? Saved. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes. The Bible won't speak about believing if there is no hearing. So believing implies that it was announced. It was spoken. That's important. Romans chapter 10. I said last week that you can't understand righteousness without the book of Romans. Where that word was used, out of 92 times, in Romans alone about 39 times it was mentioned. So if you're going to do a study on righteousness, you can't escape the book of Romans. That's actually where the doctrine of righteousness is taken from. So Paul did the masterful treatise on righteousness in the book of... In fact, if you're reading intelligently and remove the chapters, you will see why the Jews were irritated by Paul. Because they were counting on circumcision, which was a ritual. And Paul was saying, listen carefully. This business of circumcision that you people are overblowing out of proportion. Let me tell you something about circumcision. Abraham had been made righteous before he was circumcised. So it was not the circumcision that made him righteous. He did the circumcision to show he was already what? Righteous. He said, and let me tell you something. You are not even truly a Jew by having a physical sign of circumcision. You are a Jew when your heart is circumcised. The argument of Paul was so terrible that you could only stone him. No, that's why he had many enemies, because he was a Pharisee. So he knew the law well. So you couldn't hoodwink him. So when he's presenting in a scholarly fashion, argument stage by stage, until all their legal requirements are disarmed. That's how Paul preached. So go to chapter 10. Verse 1, glory to God. All right, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to who? To who? For Israel is that they might be. That's serious. These are the people who boast that we are the seed of Abraham. Paul's teaching. You know, how can you go to people who say that and say, you are not the seed of Abraham? See, the seed of Abraham are those who believe like Abraham did. So it's not the physical descendants that are seed. It is those who walk in the faith of Abraham that are seed. How won't you be angry? Everything you have trusted in, taken from you in one day. So is it that they might be saved? You know, they are not saved. Meanwhile, the real seed of Abraham is saved. Can you see the argument he's bringing? So read and say, see. And for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That knowledge is the gospel. They're not following the gospel. That's what they're saying. They have a zeal. It is seen in their activities, but their activities are not motivated by faith, because faith comes from the gospel. See what it says. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, where is that righteousness? Where is that righteousness? I want you to be following. Where is that righteousness? That's why I want you to write down. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? The power of God unto to the Jew first and then to the... For therein is the of God revealed from what? Faith to... So where is the righteousness? In the gospel. So them being ignorant of God's righteousness is seen as they've been ignorant of the gospel. Are you following? Important. So he says, for they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, I'm about to introduce Moses here now. And follow carefully. Look at the next verse. For Christ is the end, the conclusion. Is the conclusion of the law. Where righteousness is concerned, is a final statement. Is a full stop. Outside him, you can't speak of righteousness. That's what you're saying. This is serious. So a man can say, I'm righteous, outside of Christ. It means if you're not in Christ, you are not righteous. It says Christ is the conclusion where the law of righteousness is concerned to everyone who has what? Believed. Look at the next verse. For Moses, because he's been talking about the Holy Scriptures things. And he's speaking to two people. The Roman Jew and the Gentiles. And the Roman Gentile. The Roman Jew and then the Roman Gentile. Two categories of people. So he says, for Moses describes the righteous works of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall what? Live by them. Paul is not just speaking out of thin air. He's quoting scriptures to them. Where did he get this from? Leviticus 18. Look at Leviticus 18. Verse 5. Quickly. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall what? Live in them. I am the Lord. And now, maybe another time we'll look at. In the book of Leviticus, almost everywhere where Moses gave an instruction, which was the law, and he said, I am the Lord, it was Moses speaking. It was Moses who was the Lord that was speaking there. Hallelujah. Don't fight yet. If you have stones, keep them in your pocket. Don't stone me yet. Let's finish. Look at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11. The same thing is repeated. Ezekiel quoted Moses also. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11. He's saying the same thing. Ezekiel quoted Moses also. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my what? Judgments. Which if? Why would you put if? That's a condition. And God doesn't do conditions. I will show you God doesn't do conditions. So the one if is meant to open the eyes to that something's going on. He says, if a man do, he shall even live where? In them. That is what Paul is describing here. Moses described to us the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does. So when it comes to law, it's a doing. Why is it making a difference? He says, there's a righteousness which is from the law, a righteousness which is of faith. And it doesn't call the righteousness of the law, it doesn't call it the righteousness of God. It's not the same thing. So one comes from God, the other comes from where? The law. And we know what the law represents. How many of you know what the law represents? Okay, look at Romans 3, verse 19. Romans 3, verse 19. If you want me to go back or you didn't get the point, just lift your hand quietly. I will know how to recap in that area. The aim is for you to get it. For this is Paul's argument again. For we know that what things soever the law says, who is he talking to? To those who are under. Can we say those who are under the law are those who have embraced the law? Is that okay? Have you ever embraced the law? Are you a Jew? Are you from Israel? Thank you. So, that every mouth may be. Can you see the purpose of the law? Every mouth may be stopped, and all the world. Do you notice all the world becoming guilty is not a function of what they've done? It is a conclusion of the law. Because it's about to tell you, by the act of the law, no man can be justified. So he's telling you, law is not God's design. He's telling you, when you see everybody becoming guilty, God is not at work, the law is at work. What does the law do? He concludes, when he said the whole world, that includes those that are yet to be born. So he's not talking about you sinned, you're not condemned. Even without, before you did anything, the law concludes that you are what? A sinner. So he's telling you, this is what the law says. It's what the law says. Pardon me for jumping, we'll get to that later. In Galatians 4, Paul had to appeal to those in Galatia and told them, tell me, you that you desire to be under the law, chapter 4, don't you know what the law has said? If you know what the law says, you will never desire to be under the law. That was this. You will never. Moses gave them the law, and he was not under the law. Think about it. That they should have been questioned, because when Moses gave them the law, he didn't impose, he gave them. They had the right to accept or to what? Reject. You know, when he gave the law, for instance, you know, there were two people who were walking by faith. Who was their name? Caleb and Joshua. I hope you know they were not doing law. I hope you know they were doing what? That's why the Bible mentions their name, Caleb and Joshua. They were doing faith. You can't do faith without hearing something. And whatever you must have had can't be the law. Say amen. It can't be the law. It is a gospel that produces what? Faith. Look at next verse. So, therefore, by the deeds of law shall no flesh be what justified, for by the law is what? The knowledge, the epignosis of sin. Now, you don't even know what sin is, read the law. You will see chapter and verse. You see Hebrew words, Greek words for sin. It gives you concrete revelation about sin, not about God's righteousness. So, until the law came, man did not even know what sin really is until the law came. So the law is a definition, it's like a description. It highlights or magnifies sin. Look at next verse. But now, hallelujah. The righteousness of God without the law, that is before the law, is now what? Manifested. Being witnessed by the same law and what? The prophets. Leave that please, let's go back to Romans chapter 10. I saw your hand, I've not forgotten. So, where were we? Let's do verse 5. Moses describes the righteousness which is of the Lord, that the man which doeth those things shall what? Live by them. So we saw, this is where Paul quoted from. He quoted from where? Leviticus 18:5. Okay, and Ezekiel 20:11. Have we seen that? Now, notice what it says in that Romans 3 that we just read in verse 20. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be what? Because with the law is what? The knowledge of what? Sin. Can you see that? So, if a man is doing the law, what is he doing? What's he opening up? Can he ever be justified? So Moses, Paul is making a decision between the two. See what Paul says again. So he says, he has already told you Christ is the end of law for righteousness. See, but Moses now describes another righteousness, which is of the law. And the man who does those things which are of the law shall live by them. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not where? In your heart. Who shall ascend into heaven? That this will bring Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that this will bring Christ up again from the dead? But what does he say? What said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is what? The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has what? Raising from the dead, thou shalt be. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Does that look like the law? Hallelujah. So he speaks about the righteousness of which is righteousness of God. Then he speaks about the one that proceeds from the law. And he says the limitation of that is that the man who does them shall live by what? Them. That means he can never be justified. That's what it means. He can never be justified. Now, the same Moses that spoke to them about the law spoke to them about the righteousness which is of faith. He spoke the same person. Spoke to them of the two. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 verse 11. And you will see why this makes sense now. Okay, before we read Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 11, let's read 31 and verse 15. 31 verse 15. Is it 31 verse 15? Look at verse 16. Nope. That's not what I'm looking for. Let me get it myself. Are you following? All right. Go to 3011. Let's do 3011 first. And then we'll get to. So the same Moses preached, for this commandment which I commanded this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it where? Afar off. Let's read on. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, we shall go for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Next verse. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, we shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and what? Do it. Next verse. But the word is very. Where is it? And in your. That thou mayest. Now notice where this particular word is. This one is not in the book. Where is this one? In your mouth and where? In your heart. So here he's not preaching law. Here he's preaching what? Faith. That is what Paul just quoted. Okay? Here he's preaching faith. He's not preaching the law. Chapter 31 and verse 24. Thank you. Now, it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book. Who wrote? Until they were finished. Next verse. That Moses commanded the Levites, which bear what? The ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this, put it where? That it may be there for. Is it God witnessing against them or the Lord witnessing against them? Okay. Why did Moses give them? Before you accuse Moses, wait till. Why did Moses give them? Can you read the next verse? What does it say? I know. Thy rebellion. Can you see? This thy stiff neck. Behold, why am I yet alive with you this day? You have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more? After my death. Can you see? Look at the next verse. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes that I may speak these words in their heads and call heaven and earth to record. Can you imagine? Against you. Now, pay attention to something, but I don't want you to miss. Moses wrote all the words of the law, 612 tessels, in a book, and told them, put it by the side of the Ark of Covenant. Let me now ask you a question, intelligent question. What is in the Ark of Covenant? What is in the Ark? What did they put in the Ark? What's in the Ark of Covenant? What do they put? Okay, Eros wrote that one, but that isn't it. What else? Manna? What else? Nobody remembers the tables, the two tablets. What is on the two tablets? The ten. So is the ten commandments the law? Aha. Wait. Is the ten commandments the same as the law? No. So what was in the ark before Moses put the book? The tablets of what? The Ten Commandments. Then what did Moses now had? A book of law, isn't it? So whenever they spoke about the curse, It came from that book that Moses had put there. It didn't come from the Ten Commandments. We'll look at it, don't worry. That's where we'll look at it. But I just want you to see something important. That Moses wrote a law. Why would you write the law? He says, I know your rebellion. You are what? Stiff-necked. In fact, look at chapter 32, verse 20. You see something? It's something else that was written. 32, verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and we'll see what their end shall be. What is it referring to? I offered you faith. And the faith was given in a type. I was given, I will take you to a land I will show you. Which way? I told Abraham. But he now had to tell them to a promised land. And they were rebellious and they refused, which was meant to typify their entry into salvation. Now see what it says. I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end. Since they've not chosen my method, which is by faith, I will now see what their outcome will be. For they are a very forward generation. Children in whom is no faith. That's why Moses gave them the law. You can't say there is no faith if you have not preached to them. How many of you agree that? No. Hebrews chapter 4. So you will see. You are opening many passages now. I hope you are writing down. Verse 1. Hebrews 4, verse 1. We're going to read quickly. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into it, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. In what? So those who had it, did they respond to it? Did they respond to it? Was it preached them? Did they respond to it? So when they didn't respond, what did Moses do? He gave them the law. What was offered to them by faith? When they rejected, what did he give them? By the law. The one who does this thing shall live in them. Why were they really meant to live? By faith. Are you following? Alright. So Hebrews. I meant Genesis. Can you imagine Genesis and Hebrews? How did they mix together? In Genesis chapter 15. We looked at last week. So verse 6. So let's look at the first time three words were used in the scriptures. By the law of first mention, if you want to understand the context of the use of those words, you look at the first places mentioned in the scriptures, then you understand what it means contextually, and then you can apply. So Hebrews. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he, who is he here? Abraham believed the law in the Lord, and he counted it for him for righteousness. Now pay attention now. The word believe there means to corroborate a report, to accept a testimony. That's what it means. So everywhere you see the word believe, a report is given. Something is offered, verbally, spoken. So Abraham believed here. This is the first time the word believed has been used. The second one that's used for the first time is the word counted. The word counted means that in God's opinion, this is what this means. It means to consider, to take note. So he says then the last one, righteousness. This is the first time it's also used. Righteousness is the act of doing something right. This is decent. This is proper. For instance, according to the rules of this nation, if you are, maybe let's say you are driving in the night, maybe late in the night, let's say maybe 12 a.m. or 11:30 p.m. in the night, and there's no last mile official. Last mile officials are people who direct traffic in Lagos, isn't it? They're not all over Nigeria, but in Lagos at least. Now, if you stop at a red light, or there's a red light that you're going, are you meant to stop or go? You're meant to stop, isn't it? So it is proper. You know, notice what I'm using, because I know some of you will not stop. Why would you not say, nobody's here? That's Nigerian for you. Nobody's here. That means you obey in the first place because of people. I imagine. But you know, you train yourself to obey when nobody's there, so that when people are there, you will not make a mistake. How many of you know that? I'm telling you what me I do. I don't know about you. Me, I will wait. Yes, I will wait. And there's a reason why. Look, see, there are things, the same motions of sin in you is in me. Okay? I want to shut. You know when you want to shunt? I've seen an opportunity. I want to go. I look at it, there's no traffic official. I want to, like, you know, I'm in a hurry. I want to get to it. But I tell myself, if I do this one today, there's a day you will do it. When you won't know they are waiting for you. Oh, you did not pay before that day. You will pay it. Because the thing is that you do the first time, it's sweet. Second time is sweeter. Third time is sweetest.
then you are now used to it. Then you now do it at the wrong time. If nobody does one way, everybody starts one time. Then when you look at those bus drivers, they just drive and say, ah, it worked. I can't be all this one. You are not smart. You are not smart in Lagos today. It's now 200,000. I hope you know. From to mobile call, everything 200,000. You will cry. So the question is this. The issue is not that they want to pay that money. The issue is that their system is already used to shunting and to going. So they will catch many. Because many of them will forfeit their buses because it's not them now. There's now emotion that's automatically working. When they don't even want it to work, it just starts working. In fact, you have moved out already. Before you realize that I'm ready because you have trained your system in lawlessness. Okay. But I use that to say this. It is right for you to stop at the traffic junction. It is right. That is what is proper according to the laws of Lagos. Now, God also has what is right. And what is right before God is this. Abraham believed the Lord and God considered it as righteousness. God took Abraham's faith, not Abraham's works, as righteousness. Abraham, you believe me, you are right. Abraham, what is righteousness? Don't walk. Your believing means you are not walking. You are right. What did I offer you? You don't need to walk. I've done the work. You believe, you are right. You are correct. Hallelujah. So God's standard of righteousness is different from that of man. And you will see in Genesis that even before Adam sinned, that was the principle God had in operation. In fact, if you understand what I'm teaching this series, you understand where Adam missed it. You understand where he missed it. Look at Genesis 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis 2, verse 1. Let me give you another rule of Bible study. When you see something quoted in Genesis, the next place where it's quoted, you shed a bit more light. When it's finally quoted in the epistles, you have full light. Do you understand that? Huh? Should I say that again? If something is quoted in Genesis, that's the beginning. The next time it's quoted by any of the authors of the scriptures, there will be more light. Then after that quotation, if you see it in the epistles, there will be what? Full light. Should I give you an instance? Okay, Genesis, we'll come back to Genesis 1:26. I've thought that over and over again. 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that what creeps upon the earth. Now listen, let us make man. Is it a statement of conclusion or intention? Conclusion or intention? Thank you. Psalm 8. Next time is quoted. Psalm 8, verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Next verse. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And you made him to have dominion where? Over the work of your hands. You put all things under his feet. So that sounds like, let them have dominion over all the cattle, all the, isn't it? So, the psalmist references that verse, but it gives us a little bit of clue. Said that, why are you taking man? Why are you so particular about one man will be and how it be? So now, we don't know fully what is saying until we now see the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. One in a certain place testified. The certain place there is the book of Psalms that we just read. So the writer of Hebrews is quoting the book of Psalms. Look at what it says. One in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Is that not what we just read? And the son of man that you visit him, but he is not going to hurt something that will bring clarity. Look at next verse. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over what? The work of your hands. Next verse. You put all things in subjection under his feet. Pay attention now. For in that he put all his subjection under him, he left nothing. That is not what? Put under him. But now, we did not yet see all things put under him. What does that mean? When we went to look at Adam, we didn't see everything under Adam. There's a problem. So, could he be talking about Adam? Because we didn't see everything put under Adam. But we read this verse. Let us make man. Let them have. It's a statement of intention. So, this is what God wants to happen. The question, did it happen? No, it didn't happen in Genesis. How do we know it didn't happen? Because we know that Adam, I'm about to use, did not eat the apple. Or he had the apple. He didn't eat the other fruit. The tree of knowledge of the tree of life, you need it of that one. I hope you know I'm joking. By now you know that it's not apple that Adam had. It wasn't guava, it wasn't tomato. See what it says again. It says, but now we do not yet see all things put under him. But what do we see? What do we see? We see Jesus. Who is the man that should have dominion? Who is the man that should have dominion? You are slow to answer. You don't agree. Who is the man that should have dominion now? What do we see? Jesus. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should what? Taste death for every man. So Hebrews, Genesis 2 again. If you've been here also for a while, you notice that the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life are not actually trees. It's Bible language. Okay? Moreover, there's no fruit called fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Have you seen that fruit in the market before? No, sir. There's no fruit like that. So a figure of speech. The word tree represents origin or source. And so when it says tree of life, if you read the Revelation, who is the tree of life? Who is the book of life? Who is the river of life? Is it really a river? So if Jesus is not really a river, it can't really be a tree. If it's not really a tree, it can't really be. And so you can tell that it's figure of speech. So this is Moses' teaching ministry. You can't blame Moses. He saw it in a vision. He couldn't explain what it really means. He just saw it and just said what he saw. So the epistles are now teaching us this is what really happened. Okay? Now, so for instance, now Moses just told us the serpent spoke to the woman Eve. So the book of Bible stories tells you, see this thing, he's talking to. But when you come to the epistle, now tells you that Satan is a serpent. You understand now? That stop thinking snake. That Satan is a serpent. That when Moses said serpent, who is he talking about? Satan. You understand clearly? So you cannot read Genesis and know what happened in Genesis. You read Genesis, you come to where? Epistles. Which will explain what? Genesis. There, you cannot eat a physical fruit and die spiritually. How many of you agree that? So whatever you will do that will bring about death must also be spiritual in nature. What did he mean to what Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He disobeyed God. That was an action he took. So it was unbelief, disobedience, that the Bible now calls he ate of the tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. Or he made a choice that was not of faith. Do you agree with that? Okay. So Genesis 2 now, verse 1. Remember, this is Moses' writing. So when we're going to read fully what he said, we will have to look at other. Are we in agreement with that law? Is that law working? Thank you. So he says, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. It's not seven as in 7, 1, 2, 3, Sunday. Amen. 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 Say amen. And it's not Sunday. It's figure of speech. Okay? So, and he ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has what? Made. This is how Moses said it. That God rested. Was God tired? But Isaiah tells us that he doesn't get tired. Neither is he ever weary. So, this is Moses telling us. We'd have to ask other writers. Did God really get tired? That he needed to rest? Are you following? So, see what it says? And God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had what? Made. Next verse. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had what? Rested from all his work which God created and made. Okay? Psalm 95 verse 11. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that it should not enter into my rest. Okay, so that means there's a rest that people are meant to enter in, and God swore in his wrath. When the Bible says God swore in his wrath, he spoke through the law. In the law testified against men that as long as they follow the law, they won't enter into God's rest. That's what he's saying. Now Hebrews chapter 4 again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. And this is why I said now. Because we're looking for, if we search from Latin to tomorrow, we can't find it here. All right, sir. Verse 5. Verse 4. Good. For he spoke in a certain place of the what? Seventh day. On this way, or in this manner. And God did rest the seventh day from what? All his works. Next verse. And in this place again, if they shall what? Enter into my rest. Next verse. Seeing therefore, it remains that some must enter therein, and them to whom he was first preached, entered not in because of what? Unbelief. Do you see that? So, it was first preached. You cannot say somebody has disobeyed if information has not been given. So, it was first preached to some. The some is talking about there is not just children of Israel. It was first preached to Adam. What was the Adam? Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Freely is God's way of telling you righteousness is free. You don't work for it. You don't labor for it. My standard is this. The only way you can be righteous is by what? Faith. Just believe that the way I say it is how it is. How many of you agree with that? So, you may freely eat is God introducing what? Righteousness. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. So, freely imagine. So, it's like this. I place for you life and death. That is a multi-choice question. And then I now tell you, the answer is A. You still chose B. You know you must be done. Yes. There are two options, A or B. The answer is A. Choose A. You still go for B. You know you are hopeless. It's not that there are three or four of them. It's only two. Even Moses told them, I live for you, life and death. Blessing and curse. Choose life that you may live. You still went to death. He told them, the law is death. The effect is life. He said, bring the law. Everything she said we do, we do. That's what happened. That's what happened. It wasn't that it was hidden. Those whom he was first preached offered, they didn't enter because of, or they refused to be persuaded. What was Abraham's uniqueness? Abraham believed God. It was counted as what? Righteousness. So Abraham stepped into what Adam missed. That is how God has always been. Before anyone sin, God's way is what? You are justified by what? Faith. That's how God relates with men. So if they shall enter into my rest, is that everything is said. You don't, what is believing? You don't do any work. All the work is done. Just accept it. Don't try to be. Believe. And you are. So before God, proper conduct is believing. That's what it means. God's righteousness is right believing. You believe, you're righteous. That's what it means. No other way. That's God's method. And that has been the method before there was sin. It's so important we understand, because again, righteousness is not God's antidote to sin. It is how God has always been, even before Adam fell. So it's not God reacting. Ah, now that man is lost, what shall we do? No. He says, he promised before the world began. It was now manifest in our days. So while he said to Abraham, we notice that in Abraham's life, we saw how that righteousness began to work. And that this is God's system of what? Operation. Hallelujah. So he says, it remains therefore a rest. Let's read for that. Let's read for that. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to show you something. So again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, that's the one that we just read, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear what? His voice, harden not your, what does it mean to harden your heart? Unbelief. So you will hear his voice. What did you produce? Faith. What did they do? They hardened their heart. Look at the next verse. For if Jesus, now this Jesus is Joshua now, okay? This is Joshua. I hope you know the name of Joshua means the same thing as Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Amen. Alright, so this is Jesus. If Joshua had given them rest, this is a serious slap on the face of the Bible. You know what that means? Canaan land is not rest. What did Joshua give them? Canaan land. Is Canaan land rest? No. So who did they take to that place? People who refuse to believe fully in it. So it was a type. Which you are meant to enter in by faith. It was a type. But what was really the land? The new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Shall I go over that again? You get it? Okay. See what it's again. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not after all have spoken of what? Another day. So, why was another opportunity offered? Because those to whom it was first opened did not enter in. And God wanted men to enter into what? His rest. What is God's rest? Faith. His faith. Everything is done. We call that the finished work of Christ today.
that once you have believed, you have entered into what? Say, I've entered into rest. I'm in my Sabbath now. And that Sabbath is not Sunday. Okay? God's Sabbath is his rest. All the works are finished. What you do? If all the works are finished, you no longer work. God has worked. Then you shouldn't what? Work. What do? You believe. Amen. You believe. That's what the gospel offers. So you don't work. You believe. Those who are working, what are they doing? They are under the law. What does the law say? Curses every man. That does not continue. So look at the faith and the law. How they are opposites. You enter into rest how many times? How many times? When you do law, how do you do the law? Moses describes the law. The man that doeth those things, so there are things and there are plenty. That doeth them is continuity. You have to keep doing. So you did it right yesterday. You missed 12 today. You are under a curse. No, it's the Bible. It's not me. It's the Bible that said so. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Hallelujah. Chapter 6. Galatians 3 verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was what? Accounted to him for... Where is he quoting? Genesis 15, 6. Isn't it? Thank you. Next verse. Know ye therefore, on this basis, those who are of faith, the same my one, the children of... Notice it's no longer those who are Jews. Those who are of faith. This is he's telling you God's system of counting. So you are children of Abraham by faith. Or you are like Abraham because you share the same faith. Look at next verse. And the scripture foreseen, that is in advance, knowing in advance that God will justify the heathen through faith, he preached before time the gospel unto Abraham, or before and in thee shall all the nations of the heart be blessed. Next verse. So then, they which be of faith are what? Blessed. With what? Faithful. What does it mean to be blessed now? Righteousness. You have been made what? Righteous. Next verse. We'll soon stop so that we can continue next time. I don't want to say too much in one day. So, for as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curses everyone that continues not. That's the problem. You don't do the law once. You have to continue. To do it once is a problem. To continue is another matter. So, because everyone that does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Can you see? Next verse. But that no man is justified by the law inside of God, it is evident, for the just is meant to live by faith. Can you see that? He's still bringing the same principle that, remember, this is God's plan all along. It wasn't God's plan because man sinned. God's plan has always been, if any man will be justified, it has to be by faith. So the law was never meant to be a means of justification. Because by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified. He keeps repeating the same principle to them. Why is he saying that to the Galatians? We will look at that next week. When we come next week. It was Galatians from chapter 1. From verse 6, Paul stopped greeting. Very unlike any other book. Right? From chapter 1, once he got to verse 6, he stopped all the greeting. Rebuke started. The rebuke continued till chapter 4, verse 11. Rebuke throughout. The words he used for them. Why are you so foolish? He has never used it in any other episode. Why are you so foolish? Because everything he had worked for among them, it was about to be gone. Because some people came in and brought in another gospel that looked like what Paul was preaching, but it was bringing people under bondage to the law. And it's happening in the body of Christ today. You have to see where they mix law and faith. You create a monster. Let me tell you what will happen. Today you are saved. When you come next Sunday, you are not sure. When people from that kind of congregation, when they go out, if somebody says, brethren, God showed me a vision that in the whole of redemption camp, only 20 people made it. Where will your hope come from? How many people go to redemption camp program? Do you know how many people go there? They now tell you that God showed me only 20 people made heaven. You start thinking. Rough estimate, let's say 2 million people, only 20. That percentage is bad. That percentage is bad. Why would you not be moved by such a vision? You're already establishing the truth. Hallelujah. That can't be a vision from God. That can't be a vision from God. But if you don't know, you don't know. So you are moved about. You are so soon removed from the faith that you have received. You are tossed to and fro. Every wind of doctrine that people bring up,
you quickly believe. Somebody comes and tells you that God showed that Pastor Adeboye shared it, that the agents of darkness, they will not make heaven. You quickly believe. You even start spreading. You are sharing. You need deliverance. You are sharing such information. So somebody who is looking for cheap popularity, that's what they are. And by congregations who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, how can somebody die? And the person's death made you doubt your salvation. It means your salvation is based on somebody else's performance. That's what it means. It shouldn't be. You should have a rock solid assurance. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God. He was what? Counted. And they which are of faith, they are blessed with what? Faithful Abraham. So where are we now? We've left this place. Where are we now? Verse 11. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith. Look at the emphasis again. But the man that doeth them shall what? Live in them. So he's systematically putting forth this case. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse. For the word curse is doomed, having no hope of recovery. That's what the word means. It means to be doomed to have no hope of recovery. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is, you know what? Curse is everyone that what? Hangs on a tree. He has redeemed us. Glory to God. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So when the Bible says that all the works were finished from the foundation of the world, that is God's rest. Rest. What is rest? Faith that brings righteousness. That's God's rest. You believe, you don't walk. So that's where all the things that Paul said in Romans chapter 4 came from. Look at Romans chapter 4. This one is the last one. From verse 1. Alright. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, now when he says our father, he's not your father. The people he's talking to are Jews here. Okay? Our father there is, he's speaking to Jewish believers. See? Our father, that's why I said, as pertaining to the flesh. He's not your father pertaining to the flesh, is he? Are you Jewish? Okay, next verse. It says, for if Abraham, he's defending again, were justified by what? Works of the law. He has way off to glory, but never before God. Okay? So, what does scripture say? Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. What does it mean to believe God? What does it mean to be counted to him for righteousness? Next verse. Now to him that walketh, the reward is not just by grace. It is what? A debt. Because you work for it, so you hand it. But look at next verse. But to him that walketh not, that is righteousness. You walk not. You walk not. You know, it's very interesting that all God has been saying to man from the beginning, don't walk. Just enjoy. Accept, which is believe, and enter. What does the Lord say? You walk from now. You keep walking. Your generation will walk. And keep walking. Moses saw the difference. And Moses chose righteousness, which is of faith. And he told them also, this is what the Lord is saying. The word is nigh thee in your mouth, in your heart, which is what we believe. So God told them, come into the rest. And Bible says, God has opened up another day. Since those to whom he was first preached, they didn't enter in, didn't unbelieve. It's another day. There remains a rest to the people of God. So the writer of Hebrews was preaching to the Hebrews. There are two people that he wrote to in letter to the Hebrews. Those who were already saved and those who were yet to be saved. And was trying to persuade those who were yet to be saved with his arguments. And he used the law to explain to them that God has always opened up a Sabbath. A rest remains for the people. So if anybody is going to be righteous, he has to enter into God's rest. He doesn't walk. He enjoys God's work. That's what it means. Hallelujah. So let me say it again. You don't become righteous by conduct. A believer produces good works. But good works can't produce a believer. Should I say that again? A believer produces good works, but good works cannot what? Produce a believer. That's the difference. A huge difference for us to understand the righteousness which is of faith, which is God's original plan for man from the foundation of the world. Let's lift up our eyes and just thank God this morning. Let's thank him for the righteousness that we have in him. If you understood what was taught this morning, thank him. Give him thanks. To him that walketh not, but believes. I didn't walk. I just believed. In all that he has done, all he has said, all he has made available. I didn't walk, I just believed. He did the work. I entered into all that he did. He's the one that justifies the ungodly. Our faith in him, he has used it to make us righteous. He is our righteousness. We are his righteousness. Let's give him praise and thank him. Father, we are grateful. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the light and the understanding and the revelation that we have received also via your word. Thank you because we're growing more and more every day in the light of the truth of your word. Thank you for our understanding of you enriches us greatly. Yeah, we walk with you in everything that is pleasing. We are fruitful in every good work in the name of the Lord Jesus.